All the representatives of the commission are present. I am not the Lieutenant Governor. I am Dr. Matt Dumlau, the Lieutenant Governor's Chief of Staff and alternate for the commission. I am joined today by Christina Kunkel, representing the State Controller, and Gail Miller, representing the Department of Finance.
Good morning. We do have a quorum present. In addition, I would like to identify members of the staff of the commission participating virtually for this hybrid meeting. Our Zoom co-hosts are Jeff Plavanic, Nate Dozier, and Mike Farina.
For the benefit of those in the audience, the State Lands Commission manages state property interests in over 5 million acres of land, including mineral interests. The commission also has responsibility for the prevention of oil spills at marine oil terminals and offshore oil platforms and islands. Acknowledge and express gratitude to the Nisena, Wintun, and Miwok people who have inhabited the Sacramento River corridor, valley, and foothills for countless generations. I also want to take a moment to honor the California Native American communities all across the state for persisting, carrying on diverse cultural and linguistic traditions, and sustainably managing the land that we now share. Native people have maintained a constant presence on the landscape for many thousands of years, and they are essential stewardship partners, whether along the coast, along our rivers and valleys, or in our fragile deserts. We thank California Native American communities for participating in this commission's activities and for their essential role in maintaining and adding to our state's rich cultural legacy. The next item of business will be public comment. Before I open the public comment period for items not on the agenda, first let me thank everyone, especially our stakeholders and members of the public, for taking the time to join our meeting. Now I want to turn it over to Ms. Lucchesi to quickly share some instructions on how we can best participate in this meeting so that it runs as smoothly as possible.
Thank you, Chair Dumlau. For public comment, we will take those members of the public who are here in person first and then hear comments from those members of the public who are participating virtually. If you'd like to speak either during on you in the order. Call on you through Zoom. Platform. R9 on your keypad to raise your hand. All on the individuals who have raised last three digits of their identifying phone number. Hold on, you will be on. Also established an email address for our meeting. Address is cslc.commissionmeeting.
Our next order of business is the public comment. If anyone wants to address the commission on a matter not on today's agenda, I will call on those who are here in person first. You will have 3 minutes to provide your comments. Next, we will move on to those joining us virtually. Jeff, please call on the first person who would like to make a public comment.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if we have anyone in person to comment at the moment. We do have one hand raised, though. And that hand raise ends in phone number ending in 936. You are welcome to unmute yourself and speak at this time.
Eileen Boken, State and Federal Legislative Liaison, Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods. Following up on the Coalition's written comments, the Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods warmly welcomes Controller Malia Cohen to the State Lands Commission. As Controller Cohen was born and raised in San Francisco, we are proud to call her one of our own. The Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods has already been advocating at the State Lands Commission for issues under the State Lands Commission's purview in terms of the public trust doctrine. These issues include advocating for an ocean water pump station for San Francisco SOE, San Francisco's emergency firefighting water system at San Francisco's Ocean Beach near the Oceanside Treatment Facility. Advocating for an onshore or offshore desalination facility near the Oceanside Treatment Facility. As part of California's 30 by 30 strategy, advocating for the waters off San Francisco's Ocean Beach to be designated as part of a national marine sanctuary. The Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods intends to begin advocating for revisions to sand mining permits in San Francisco's Bay as sand mining is exacerbating erosion and accretion on San Francisco's Ocean Beach. The Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods looks forward to working with Controller Cohen and her Deputy Controller for Environmental Policy, Christina Kunkel, on these issues. Thank you.
Very much for that comment. Jeff, do we have anyone else wishing to provide public comment?
At the moment, there are no other hands raised. If there's anybody who would like to speak, please raise your hand at this time. If you're calling in, you can press *9 to raise your hand and we will call on you.
Doesn't look like we have any more public comment. So just before we move on, maybe just a few quick comments from the commissioners. Christina Kunkel.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Dumlow. I just wanted to thank Eileen and the commission for the warm welcome for Controller Cohen. Of course, as Eileen mentioned, she is a proud San Franciscan and is looking forward to serving on the commission. She unfortunately wasn't able to be here today, but I'll extend that warm welcome along to her and we'll be seeing her very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think, you know, I can speak for the Lieutenant Governor that she is absolutely thrilled to be serving alongside Controller Cohen on this commission and look forward to the next 4 years of State Lands Commission meetings with the two of them on the commission. And I am delighted to be here with you as our alternate on the commission as well. No one better. So thank you very much. And I think that concludes our public comment. So the next item on our of business will be the adoption of the minutes from the commission's meeting on December 9th, 2022. I will note that Commissioner Kunkel will have to abstain since the controller, Commissioner Cohen, was not on the commission at the time. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move approval.
And I will second that. Any objection to a unanimous vote? Yes, sir. So
the motion passes.
Motion passes.
Unanimously. Thank you.
do we have to roll call on that one?
No.
Even though she.
We heard her abstain.
Okay.
Yes.
It. Got it. Great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
The next order of business is the executive officer's report. Ms. Lucchesi, may we have the report?
Yes. I'd like to update the commission on a couple of different things happening at the commission. First, a budget update. The governor's proposed budget for the 2023-2024 fiscal year includes a total budget for the State Lands Commission of $53,277,000. The governor's budget also includes a $3.6 million appropriation for the commission to secure a caretaker to monitor platform Holly offshore the city of Goleta in Santa Barbara County. The caretaker will monitor, inspect, and promptly respond to conditions on and around platform Holly during the caretaker period, which is the time between final plug and abandonment of the 30 wells and when platform decommissioning begins. This item in the commission's larger budget will be considered at budget subcommittee hearings this week and next week. Next, we're incredibly excited to announce a reorganization of the commission's science programs, which we will formally launch this week. This is intended to better serve the commission and the people of California in making informed science-based recommendations for the commission's consideration. Three of our programs will merge into a new division called the Division of Environmental Science, Planning, and Management. The three programs include the Marine Invasive Species Program, a Climate Change Adaptation and Special Projects Team, and the team responsible for the Commission's compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act. This reorganization will better position the Commission's science team to effectively collaborate and integrate the best available science, thought, and analysis into the decision-making process. This reorganization has been 2 years in the making, and it is intended to foster a very strong, collaborative, multidisciplinary approach to scientific analysis, program implementation, and leadership. It is consistent with and supports the Commission's strategic plan, our workforce development plan, and our succession planning efforts. Next, I am very excited to announce that the Commission, in collaboration with the City of Goleta, has completed the removal of the last two oil piers and caisson structures in the state located at Haskell's Beach in the City of Goleta. This is the Piers 421 removal project. This milestone decommissioning project marks the end of oil production in the Elwood oil field. Production that started in the late 1920s and continued into the 1990s. At one time, the shoreline was marked by 13 piers, as well as a welter of oil storage and processing facilities immediately onshore. Now that the final two piers and caissons are gone, restoring full coastal access and eliminated public safety and environmental threats at this beach. We continue to maintain and monitor Platform Holly and the onshore facilities to ensure public health and safety. We have concluded the well work to seal off the production intervals of the 30 platform wells. We're currently monitoring the effect of that plugging and abandonment, and we hope to start planning for the decommissioning very soon. Finally, I want to make some personnel announcements. First, we have hired an assistant chief of our Mineral Resources Management Division. We're excited to announce that Peter Reagan will be the commission's new assistant chief of this important division beginning March 2nd. Peter started with the commission in 2019 as a petroleum drilling engineer, taking on the critical role of project manager for the $130 million Platform Holly Piers 421 decommissioning project. Before that, Peter worked for CalGEM and also spent a significant amount of his career working throughout the world in the private oil and gas industry. Peter's wealth of knowledge, expertise, and experience, and his collaborative team-oriented approach will be a tremendous asset to this division and the commission in this new role. So please join me in congratulating Peter. And second, I want to announce that we've also hired a new budget officer for the commission. It is with great pleasure to announce that the Commission's new budget officer is Jen Cornell. Jen has worked in our budget office as an analyst since 2021 and has gained a lot of knowledge of our budget funds and the programs they support. And we're delighted that she'll continue to serve the Commission in this new capacity. And her ability to problem solve and be creative, especially as we work with our very limited budget across the state in trying to implement the many programs and initiatives that we're leading. She's just going to be a tremendous asset to that. So I'm really excited to see her in this new leadership role. And then finally, I wanted to just talk a little bit and explain to members of the public that may be watching how our meeting today will go. So as you, Chair Dumlau mentioned, both the controller and the lieutenant governor, our two constitutional officers, are not going to be able to join us today. And under state law, as it applies to our commission specifically, when both constitutional officers are not present during the meeting and are represented by their alternates, only one alternate can vote on any given item. So as we work through the agenda items, the public may notice that one commissioner will be abstaining, and that might go back and forth throughout the meeting for the voting items, and that's perfectly normal and consistent with the law, given the legal framework we're working with today under Bagley-Keene and other state law that applies here. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Chair Dumlau. Thank you.
Great, thank you, and thank you for explaining the rules for today's commission meeting. I'd also like to just say congratulations to Peter and Jen for their new positions within the commission. I'm really happy to have them in those roles. Commissioner Kunkel, do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, thank you, Chair Dumlau. I just want to celebrate and extend gratitude to Ms. Lucchesi and your staff for everything that you do, but in particular, the removal of the Pierce 21. I mean, this is just a momentous step forward in our transition away from fossil fuels. And I just recall less than a year ago touring the beach there, and the piers were very much there, and now they're not. And this is just fantastic news for public access at the beach and a testament to the fantastic staff at the commission. So thank you for all the hard work, and I look forward to visiting.
Thank you. Commissioner Miller, do you have any comments?
I don't. Just as always, just a lot of gratitude to the commission for all the work that goes into planning these hearings and all of the information you've given us. Really appreciative. And obviously, this is one of the best teams in state government, so congratulations to all of you, and hope you really enjoy this opportunity and you make a big difference. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to agree with Commissioner Kunkel about the removal of Pierce 421. That is just a tremendous milestone in our energy transition. And looking forward to visiting the beach and being able to enjoy the beach without that on it. So. Looking forward to that next opportunity. All right, the next order of business will be the adoption of the consent calendar. Commissioner Kunkel, Commissioner Miller, are there any items that you would like removed from the consent calendar?
Not in addition to the...
Next, I call on Ms. Lucchesi to indicate which items, if any, have been removed from the consent calendar.
Yes, consent item 59 is removed from the agenda and will be considered at a later time. And consent items 66 and 71 are moved from the consent agenda to the regular agenda to be heard and presented on.
Great. Is there anyone joining us who wishes to speak on any item remaining on the consent calendar? Seeing none. If so, please come up to the podium or raise your Zoom hand or dial *9 if joining by phone now. Jeff, do we have anyone on Zoom or on the phone?
There are no hands raised on Zoom at this time.
Great. So hearing none, we will now proceed with the vote. May I have a motion to adopt the consent agenda? We have a motion by Commissioner Miller and a second by Commissioner Kunkel. Any objection to, well, I guess we have to do a roll call vote.
Yes.
So let's do a roll call vote.
Certainly. Commissioner Kunkel.
Aye.
Commissioner Miller?
Aye.
Chair Dumlau?
Abstaining.
The motion passes 2-0 with one abstention.
Great. The next order of business will be the regular calendar. And we're going to start with item 85, which is an item to consider the application for a general lease for a proposed solar energy facility located in Kern County. May we have the presentation?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Drew Simpkin, and I will be giving staff presentation for agenda item 85. Next slide, please. The proposed project is located on 160 acres of state indemnity school land west of the town of Mojave in Kern County. Next slide, please. Most of the state's school lands are located in the California desert and are what remain of the nearly 5.5 million acres granted to California by Congress in 1853 to benefit public education. In 1984, the California legislature enacted the School Land Banked Act. Revenue generated from school lands is deposited in the state treasury for the benefit of the state teachers' retirement system. Next slide, please. The applicant, WindHub Solar B, LLC, is proposing the WindHub Solar B project, which would develop a photovoltaic or PV solar facility and associated infrastructure necessary to generate approximately 20 megawatts of renewable electrical energy and up to 160 megawatt hours of battery energy storage. This would be the third renewable energy project and second solar facility approved for development on school lands. Next slide, please. In December 2018, Kern County, as the lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act, prepared and certified an environmental impact report for the WindHub Solar A and B projects. In December 2019, the applicant completed construction of the WindHub Solar A project, located on approximately 148 acres of privately owned land near the proposed WindHub Solar B project. Combined, the projects would produce approximately 40 megawatts of renewable energy for California's electricity grid. Next slide, please. This is a simulated depiction of what the solar facility may look like when completed. The project would include the construction of up to 70,000 PV modules mounted on fixed tilt or horizontal tracking structures installed in array blocks. Other related infrastructure includes, but is not limited to, roads to allow the project construction and maintenance of the PV modules, underground and above ground electrical and communications cables that would tie into the existing gen tie line or collector transmission line, backup generators, portable toilets, a meteorological and telecommunications tower, a water storage tank, and metal cargo containers. Next slide, please. The proposed annual rent consists of a base rent of $69,300 per year with an annual consumer price index adjustment or royalty fee of 4% of the gross value of electrical power, whichever is greater. The applicant will be required to maintain insurance in an amount of no less than $2 million in commercial liability and $5 million in aggregate and umbrella liability insurance, and $1.5 million in bond or other surety. Next slide, please. The 48-acre portion of the 160-acre school lands parcel was identified in the Commission's significant lands inventory as possessing a unique display of Joshua trees and desert tortoise habitat. Next slide, please. As part of the proposed lease, the 48 acres will be excluded from development. A fence barrier will be constructed that prevents vehicles and off-road vehicles from accessing the 48 acres while allowing pedestrian and wildlife, including desert tortoise, access. Annual trash cleanup will be conducted as necessary. And lastly, annual monitoring of the overall health of the Joshua Tree Grove will be conducted with annual reporting to Commission staff. The Joshua Tree Preservation Plan is attached as Exhibit E to the staff report. These preservation requirements will ensure that the parcel retains its significant environmental values as desert tortoise habitat and supporting a unique display of Joshua trees. Next slide, please. By providing a new source of renewable energy, the project would assist the state of California in achieving the Renewable Portfolio Standard Program established by Senate Bill 100, also known as the California Renewables Portfolio Standard Program, which establishes the goal of 50% of California energy coming from renewable sources by 2030 and 100% by 2045. Other benefits from the proposed project include helping to meet the increasing demand for clean, safe, renewable electrical power, diversifying the state's energy portfolio and contributing to the state's greenhouse gas emission reduction targets, producing and transmitting electricity safely and at a competitive cost, and finally, supporting the economic development of Kern County and the state of California. Next slide, please. Staff recommends the following. 1, authorize issuance of a general lease industrial use to the applicant beginning February 28, 2023 for a term of 40 years with the terms outlined in the lease. 2, authorize the executive officer or designee to approve assignment of the lease as described in the lease. Next slide, please. 3, authorize the executive officer or designee to execute the document entitled Agreement and Consent to Encumbrance of Lease as proposed in Exhibit F. And 4, authorize the executive officer or designee to execute, acknowledge, accept, and record all related documents as may be reasonably necessary to complete the transaction. Next slide, please. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to answer any questions, and representatives from Windhub Solar B LLC are also participating via Zoom.
Thank you, Mr. Simkin. On this item, it will be voted on by myself and Commissioner Miller. So Commissioner Miller, do you have any comments or questions?
No comments or questions, but I do. I think the ability of the commission to really thread the needle on so much of what they do is phenomenal, because we have this duty to grant leases, and then in addition, finding ways to protect the Joshua trees in this case is incredible. And then the financial security of both the commission and the state, it's every one of these leases are just incredibly complicated, and to have that really wide aperture in terms of what we're protecting, in addition to making sure that folks get to continue to operate in the state, I just think is so important. So with that, I will move approval.
Thank you. And Jeff, do we have any public comments?
Thank you, Chair. We do have hands raised this time. If Nestor Aliga, please unmute yourself, and you are welcome to begin speaking.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
I am so sorry. Was supposed to speak to item 83, but that is obviously been passed. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nestor. Sorry, were you here to speak on a different item?
Yes, sir.
I would like
item 83.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so right now we're just going to take public comment on item 85.
Yes, I understand. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And then I would just like to associate myself with the comments that Commissioner Miller made about threading that needle and finding ways to advance both our renewable energy statewide goals and our conservation goals and our fiscal responsibility goals. All right. So since we do not have any more public comment, we'll now proceed with the vote. May I have a motion to adopt the...
I'll move approval.
Great. Great, and I will second that. And can we have a roll call vote?
Abstain.
Aye.
Chair Dumlau.
Aye.
The motion passes 2-0 with one abstention. And may I make a suggestion with the previous public commenter? He, I think, wanted to speak on item 83, which was part of the consent calendar approval. So I would recommend that he be called on during our second public comment period to provide comment on that item, even though the commission has already voted on it, just so that he could be heard on that item, if that is okay with the chair.
Great suggestion. Nestor, please stay on Zoom and join us for the second public comment period, which will be at the end of our meeting after we go through each of the items on a regular calendar. Thank you. All right. Now we are moving on to a few items that are going to be dealing with legislation. Just to make it clear for everyone, Commissioner Miller will be abstaining from any vote on legislation. And because of that and the fact that we have two alternates, we cannot actually vote on these items today. So what we will be doing is we will be taking the presentations from Ms. Pemberton, and we will be discussing it, but then we will be holding the vote at a later date. So
great. And if I may, Mr. Dumlau, the Department of Finance has traditionally abstained from all legislation just so as not to presuppose any outcome from the governor. So just to add one more piece of clarity. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. So item 86 is to consider co-sponsoring legislation that would authorize the commission to convey public trust lands to the city of Alameda. May we have the presentation?
Sorry, I think it's on now. Thank you. This item recommends that the commission co-sponsor legislation together with the city of Alameda to authorize a state lands commission to grant to the city lands that it acquires in a land exchange known as the Encinal Terminals Exchange and any other land exchange with the city that might occur in the future. The city currently holds and manages public trust land granted by the legislature to the city over a century ago. Last year, the commission approved a land exchange and title settlement agreement involving the Encinal Terminals area on the city's northern waterfront. Encinal Terminals is a former shipping site that has been vacant and without public access for many, many years. The land exchange agreement the commission approved last year will reconfigure the lands to facilitate a mixed-use development at the Encinal Terminals site known as the Encinal Terminals Project. The land exchange agreement contemplates that the commission and the city will seek legislation to authorize the state or authorize the commission to grant the lands it acquires in the exchange back to the city to hold in trust. Just a little bit about the project. It will supply much-needed housing, including 80 new affordable housing units, create a publicly accessible waterfront, new bayfront trail, and a range of other recreational amenities for the area. The exchange will occur in a series of four phases over the next 5 to 15 years, and this bill will position the commission to grant the land back to the city to hold and manage rather than having to issue an interim lease in the meantime. And so I know that we don't have the constitutional officers here, and this is just informational at this time. So that'll conclude my presentation.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Kunkel, any comments?
Just that from the controller's perspective, this is fantastic. Really looking forward to, I think I saw in the staff report that there was a net increase to the trust of approximately 14 acres. So anything we can do to increase the public trust and protect that land is fantastic. And the affordable housing, the public trail, just really excited about it. Thank you so much.
Mayor Kunkel.
Thank you. And from the Lieutenant Governor's perspective, we agree. This seems like a smart piece of legislation. Definitely provides public benefits, and I think we approve of the direction that we're going with this bill, and so at a later date we will look forward to being able to vote on this item. And so at this point we will move on to item 87, which is another item regarding legislation. It's to consider sponsoring legislation to amend several solid mineral permitting and leasing statutes. May we have the presentation?
Yes, thank you, Chair Dumlau. Over the past year, staff has carefully reviewed the statutes that govern the commission's authorization to issue mineral prospecting permits and extraction leases. And we've identified several important ways that the statutory framework can be improved. One of the reasons why this is important now is because staff anticipates greater interest in prospecting permits and extraction leases because of California's robust clean energy goals and because of the looming potential shortage of lithium necessary for batteries and electric vehicles, and also a growing demand for lithium domestically and internationally, and because of a potential shortage in California. Most of the commission's solid mineral statutes were written in the 1940s, and obviously much has changed since then. Current law authorizes the commission to issue a mineral prospecting permit that enables an individual or company to prospect for valuable minerals, which means minerals that can be produced in commercial quantities. If the commission confirms that a permittee has discovered minerals that can be produced in commercial quantities, that permittee, under our current statutory framework, is afforded a preferential right to a lease, which could be considered a lease entitlement. Staff is concerned that this could require the commission to issue a mineral extraction lease as a ministerial, untransparent action, without the benefit of commission action at a public meeting and without the opportunity to engage in meaningful public outreach. So this bill would remove that lease prioritization and, I mean, lease preferential right to a lease and replace it with a lease prioritization. And that's the most notable component of the legislation. I'll also briefly touch on a few other elements. These include aligning the statutory framework with the seabed mining ban enacted last year, on which the commission supported, removing an antiquated requirement that the Attorney General find that a lease or permit complies with the law. Repealing this requirement will eliminate an unnecessary burden on the commission and the Attorney General and preserve that commission's Attorney General client relationship. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Pemberton. Commissioner Kunkel?
Yes, thank you, Chair Dumo. Again, the Comptroller's Office is looking forward to this legislation. And as staff have duly noted, you know, we're expecting mineral prospecting to accelerate with lithium demand. So I appreciate the Commission thinking ahead on this topic. It's just important to clarify any ambiguities now in anticipation so that we can ensure public participation, tribal consultation, and of course, commission discretion as well. So thank you, Sherry. Ms. Pemberton.
Thank you. And Commissioner Miller, any comments or questions?
No.
Nope. I would just like to agree with Commissioner Kunkel. I think one of the strengths that this commission has is looking at all of our statutes and figuring out when it's necessary to update outdated language or you know, think through some potential challenges or issues that could arise from the way things are currently drafted. And so, yeah, Ms. Pemberton, thank you for every year you're always looking out for these types of issues and bringing them before the commission. Sometimes, you know, they are minor issues that end up in committee bills that sail through the legislature pretty much on consent. Other times that they are things like this that are a little bit more substantive, and so I just appreciate you always doing that. And I know the Lieutenant Governor would be is also very appreciative of that perspective and looking forward to voting on this in the weeks to come.
Chair?
Yes.
May I interrupt just quickly?
Yes.
To ask Jeff if there's anybody who wishes to speak on this item or 86 for public comment.
I went through that too quickly tonight.
That's
all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we have anyone who would wish to speak on item 86 or 87?
Thank you, Chair Kunlau. At the moment, we do not have any hands raised for comment.
Great. All right. Thank you. All right, now we have another legislative item. This one is item 88, which is to discuss potentially take action on legislation relevant to the State Lands Commission. Ms. Pemberton, may we have the presentation?
Yes, thank you, Chair Dumlau. This is an informational item. There's no action requested at this time. The purpose of this item is just to update the commission about the legislative session thus far and kind of set the stage for what's to come. It's a really busy time, as you're aware, with the bill introduction deadline just having passed on February 17th. The legislature introduced a little over 2,600 bills, which is the highest number of introductions in about a decade. About 40% of those bills are spot or intent bills, and the deadline for substantive amendments for those bills is mid-March. We've reviewed all the bills introduced and are monitoring amendments and have identified about a few dozen bills of interest that are listed in your staff report and organized by issue area. A few key areas where we anticipate action this year are offshore wind energy development, renewable energy, including lithium development in the Salton Sea and sea level rise and climate change, including a sea level rise and flood control bond. There's also a few granted land bills involving legislation specific to the San Diego Unified Port District and the Port of San Francisco. Other areas of interest that staff is assessing and following include restoration projects for kelp, eelgrass and oyster beds, carbon capture and sequestration, plastic pollution, equity, tribal issues, environmental justice, and many more. One notable bill we wanted to highlight is SB 559 by Senator Min, because this bill would require the commission to terminate its offshore oil and gas leases if it's unable to negotiate voluntary relinquishments. This is a reintroduction of legislation from last year, and staff will be monitoring this bill in the weeks and months to come. Since it's early in the process, we're not making any recommendations for commission action now, but we just wanted to provide this brief informational update and give the commissioners an opportunity to give staff any guidance or direction.
Thank you, Ms. Pemberton. Commissioner Kunkel, do you have any comments or questions?
No, just so grateful for you, Ms. Pemberton, for digging in. And how many bills did you say there were?
2,600.
Yeah, that's wild. So great job. Thank you.
And Sherry's read them all. Yes, thank you very much, Sherry, for doing that and looking out for things that might be of interest to the commission. I know there's a lot of time left in the legislative process, so I am sure these bills will evolve and we will continue to discuss them as they do as a commission. And then Commissioner Miller, no comments. And then, yes.
Chair, I just wanted to interrupt once again.
Sure.
Before you get to public comment this time, and just as in reference to Sherry's comment on the status update of SB 559 by Senator Min, I did want to provide an update that pursuant to AB 2257 last year by Assemblymember Borner Horvath, which the commission supported and the controller sponsored, which both required the commission to conduct its own cost study of a voluntary buyout of the remaining 11 offshore oil and gas leases, and the governor's budget that was signed into law included the $1 million appropriation. We have hired our consultant to help us put that together. We are on track to actually meeting the end of year deadline to provide an update on the data collection and analysis that we're charged with doing, with the goal of submitting that report at the end of 2024. So just an update on a study that the commission has been supporting staff doing that is in relation to Senator Min's new bill.
Thank you very much, and that will be incredibly valuable information for the commission in the future. So looking forward to that study being completed. Jeff, do we have any public comments on item 88?
Thank you, Chair. We have no hands raised for comment at this time.
All right, and there is no vote on that one. And then we are now moving on to item 89, which is to consider supporting the West Coast Ocean Protection Act introduced in Congress by Senator Dianne Feinstein and Representative Jared Huffman that would permanently ban new offshore oil and gas leasing in the Outer Continental Shelf. May we have the presentation?
Yes, thank you, Chair Dumlau. This is an action item recommendation. This item recommends that the commission support legislation introduced this past January by Senators Feinstein and Representative Huffman that would enact the West Coast Ocean Protection Act, which would ban new offshore oil and gas leases in the Pacific Outer Continental Shelf area. The commission has in the past supported several other bills that are similar to express and memorialize its opposition to new offshore oil and gas drilling in federal waters offshore California. It's a pretty straightforward bill. There's a lot of support from a whole host of environmental organizations, and it is co-authored by several dozen senators and representatives in Congress. And there's no opposition that we're aware of at this time. Staff recommends that the commission adopt a support position on the West Coast Ocean Protection.
Thank you, Ms. Pemberton, and thank you for that that recommendation. We will take a vote on that one at a later time. But Commissioner Kunkel, do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, again.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt one more time.
Please.
We actually can vote on this, as I believe Commissioner Miller will not be abstaining. But the rule that only one of the alternates of our constitutional officer members still applies.
Thank you.
Great.
With that, when you're ready, Mr. Chair, I'll move approval.
All right. So, yeah, Commissioner Kunkel, comments or questions? Or, well, you can't. Sure.
So
okay.
I will abstain.
Okay. Commissioner Miller, any comments?
No, I think obviously that so much of what we are able to do with in the state is precipitated by the federal government and vice versa. So excited to be able to move this forward.
Great, thank you. And Jeff, do we have any public comments?
Thank you, Chair. There are no hands raised for comment at this time.
Thank you. Just my brief comment here, the state of California does not want offshore oil drilling in our state. And our focus is on looking at getting rid of what we have off the coast. I commend Senator Feinstein and Representative Huffman for introducing this again and encourage them to continue pushing for this because this is something that I believe most Californians are in agreement with. So with that, may we have a motion to adopt the staff's recommendation?
I'll move approval.
And I will second. So we have a motion by Commissioner Miller and a second by Commissioner Dumlau. Roll call vote.
Yes. Commissioner Kunkel.
Abstain.
Commissioner Miller.
Aye.
Chair Dumlau.
Aye.
The motion passes 2-0 with one abstention.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Lucchesi, I believe now we have the items that were removed from the consent calendar.
Right. So I recommend we take item 66 up first.
Great.
And Drew Simkin will be presenting again. I know it will look like the commission is only a staff of two between Sherry and Drew presenting today. They are definitely carrying our staff water. We had them carbo loading yesterday. These are all team efforts that go into these staff reports and staff presentations and negotiations. So there's a whole team behind Drew and Sherry, but at the same time, they are the face of today's commission meeting. And we're grateful that Drew agreed to do all these presentations.
Commissioners, as Jen said, I'm Drew Simkin, and I will be giving the staff presentation for agenda item 66. Next slide, please. The existing lease 9177 is located on sovereign land within Monterey Bay near the city of Marina in Monterey County. Next slide, please. As background, on December 17th, 2014, the Commission authorized issuance of a general lease right-of-way use to California American Water Company, or Cal-Am, for the construction, operation, and decommissioning of a temporary exploratory test slant water well. The authorized test well was constructed to determine the feasibility of a subsurface water intake system for use in a future desalination project, the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project, or Water Supply Project. On November 29, 2017, the Commission authorized an amendment to the lease to extend the lease term an additional 2 years for delays in environmental review of the proposed project. On June 28, 2019, the Commission authorized a second amendment to the lease to extend the lease term an additional 3 years to allow sufficient time for Cal-Am to secure necessary permits and authorizations from other agencies. The lease expired on December 15, 2022 and has been in holdover since. Next slide, please. The test slant water well extends from the beach at the now non-operational Cemex sand mining site. Approximately 230 feet of the 1,000-long test well lies within the Commission's jurisdiction at approximately 290 feet below the seafloor. Next slide, please. Full-time pumping ceased on February 28, 2018, Only periodic maintenance pumping is authorized pursuant to the terms of the lease and coastal development permit. Continued maintenance pumping is intended to preserve the well and circulate water through the well screen to prevent biological growth and incrustation. The test well is turned on once per month and operated for approximately 4 hours at a rate of 2,000 gallons per minute. Cal-Am is now seeking an amendment to the lease to extend the lease term an additional 5 years to December 16, 2027 for additional time to obtain other local, state, and federal approvals for the water supply project. Additionally, several other outstanding issues need to be resolved, such as the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, final approval of the water supply project and litigation between the City of Marina and Cal-Am. Next slide, please. Cal-Am's proposed water supply project would provide potable water for customers in Cal-Am's service area in the Monterey Peninsula region. Components of the project located within the Commission's jurisdiction would include additional slant wells to provide source water for a future upland desalination facility. Additional components could include an existing or new ocean wastewater outfall pipeline to discharge brine associated with the desalination facility. The proposed lease amendment does not authorize Cal-Am to utilize the test slant well for use in the full desalination project or install additional slant wells. The construction of additional slant wells, use of an existing ocean wastewater outfall to discharge brine, or the construction of a new ocean wastewater outfall would all require commission authorization. To date, Cal-Am has not submitted a lease application for additional components of the water supply project. On November 17, 2022, the California Coastal Commission conditionally approved a coastal development permit associated with application number 9200603 to construct and operate a slant well field associated water transmission pipelines and related infrastructure associated with or within the coastal zone associated with the water supply project. In order to move forward and construct the project, Cal-Am must still obtain numerous local, state, and federal approvals, including but not limited to Monterey One Water for connection and use of the Monterey One Ocean Outfall, Monterey County, the cities of Marina, Seaside, and Sand City, the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, the CPUC, and the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. Other pending issues include the CPUC's ruling on final approval of the project, including but not limited to a final determination on long-term water supply and demand estimates, and there is also the current litigation between the City of Marina and Cal-Am. Next slide, please. Cal-Am now supports the Pure Water Monterey Recycled Water Expansion Project developed by the Monterey Peninsula Water Management District and Monterey One Water. CPUC proceedings on the expansion project are ongoing and no party disputes approval of the expansion project. In September 2022, the CPUC issued a proposed decision to approve the Pure Water expansion. As part of the same proceeding, the CPUC will also consider long-term water supply and demand estimates and whether additional water supplies will be needed beyond what the Pure Water expansion will provide. Cal-Am applied to the CPUC for a water purchase agreement from the expansion project. An administrative law judge issued a tentative decision approving the water purchase agreement on September 30th, 2022. However, Cal-Am has raised concerns regarding their financial obligations and is currently refusing to enter into the water purchase agreement and may request a rehearing, which could take 9 to 10 months to resolve. Next slide, please. Staff recommends amendment of the lease to extend the lease term to December 16th, 2027 and modify the lease special provisions substantially in the form described in the proposed amendment portion of the staff report. Next slide, please. And that concludes staff's presentations. Staff is available to answer any questions, and representatives from Cal-Am are attending via Zoom.
Thank you. Commissioner Kunkel will be abstaining from this item. Commissioner Miller, do you have any comments or questions?
I don't. I'm ready to move approval.
Great, thank you. And Jeff, do we have any public comments?
Thank you, Chair Dumlau. Yes, our first speaker is Dr. Margaret Ann Pepernall. You are welcome to unmute yourself and speak at this time.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thanks, Chair. I would like to input here that Margaret Davis has ceded her time to me. Her phone number ends in 534. May I be granted the time?
Ms. Lucchesi?
Yes, that's fine with staff as long as it's okay with the chair.
Yeah, that is fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, Chair and Commissioners and staff. Calham's lease has the purpose of strong-arming construction of its infeasible desalination plant. This will be far more hazardous to the environment than the CEMEX sand mining industry it would replace. The State Lands Commission was instrumental in the closing of the sand mine operation, so support for an even worse situation that will violate the tri-party agreement to preserve that land for conservation and recreational use only would be incomprehensible. Sea level rise and scientifically protected erosion will cause the slant wellheads to be covered completely, making the desal plant a very poor investment at enormous cost to ratepayers and the environment. Cal-Am has no future relocation site for new slant wells, so the damage to Esha and beaches will be another major loss. In sum, this lease renewal would enable and embolden Cal-Am to continue its path of deception, fear-mongering, and manipulative maneuvering. The illegally installed slant well with well monitoring system is the reason Cal-Am obtained this property lease in the first place. Its goal is to gain approval for its desalination plant through incremental and political means, regardless of the harm to mankind, animal, or environment. Cal-Am's pumping of the Salinas Valley groundwater basin represents an existential threat to the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, including marine life, the fisheries industry, and restaurant economy. In fact, whole industries are at risk of extinction. Why? Because the slant wells desalination will produce corrosive brine that will be only intermittently be diluted in the outfall pipe because M1W wastewater only flows part-time, whereas the brine outfall will be continuous. Brine by gravity's pull will sink down to the Monterey Bay Canyon seafloor where squid and other marine creatures lay their eggs in the sand. These eggs cannot survive a brine environment. Additionally, the depleted freshwater aquifer will not be able to provide the fresh water that normally seeps down to the canyon seafloor to sustain these marine nesting areas. With no fresh water and a heavy brine environment, this marine life will die off, causing dependent industries like fisheries and restaurants to suffer severe adverse economic consequences and impacts. The lease renewal would allow Cal-Am slant well to continue aquifer extractions as well as be an incentive to persuade permit agencies to approve its proposed desalination plant, which will create another environmental justice threat to disadvantaged communities that are already overburdened with industrial operations, plus the cost of former Fort Ord munitions and asbestos-laden barracks removal. It is perverse to replace the sand mining operation with an even more harmful and invasive industry. Please end Cal-Am's rapacious conduct that will harm the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, severely damage our fisheries, and destroy our regional water supply. Please, please deny the lease renewal. Cal-Am's juggernaut of greed and unaccountability must be ended, along with its violations of the state constitution, the public trust doctrine, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and the Agency Act. It is the duty of the State Lands Commission to uphold these laws. God bless you. Thank you so much for your graciousness and dedicated service.
Thank you for your comment. Would you mind just stating your name for the record? I don't think we caught it at the beginning.
Oh, Margaret Ann Copperhall. Okay.
Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate your comments. Jeff, do we have anyone else here for public comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no other hands raised for comment at this time.
All right. And just checking one more time, no one else is in the room here for public comment. Commissioner Miller, do you have any comments or questions at this point?
Just to thank Margaret Ann for her thoughtful comments. I think it's such an important part of our process. I do think that's why when Drew presented, we have made some safeguards within this lease. It is different to other DCEL that we've had in the past, and obviously a big part of our safe drinking water for this part of the state. So, but sincerely appreciate the opportunity to really think through some of the issues Margaret Ann raised. And with that, I'm happy to move approval.
And I would just like to say, you know, the vote today, as Drew outlined in his staff presentation, is very limited to a very specific part of the project. It's not, prejudging any of the future applications that may come before the commission regarding the larger DCEL project or any other aspects of the project. It is an extension of the existing lease. With that, may I have a motion to adopt staff's recommendation?
Move
in a
approval.
Second. We have a motion from Commissioner Miller. I will second. And Jennifer, let's do the roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Kunkel.
Abstain.
Commissioner Miller.
Aye.
Chair Dumas.
Aye.
The motion passes 2-0 with 1 abstention.
Great. Thank you very much. And Ms. Lucchesi, what is the next order of business? I believe it's item 71.
That's correct. And Drew will be presenting on that one as well.
Commissioners, I will be giving the staff presentation for agenda item 71, the amendment of a general lease, public agency lease with the City of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, hereinafter referred to as the city. Next slide, please. Owens Lake is located in the southwest Inyo County, approximately 200 miles north of Los Angeles. The lake originally covered approximately 110 square miles and was up to 50 feet deep. In 1913, the city began diverting water from the lake through the LA Aqueduct, and the lake's water level rapidly declined. By 1930, the lake was virtually dry with only a small brine pool remaining. The Great Basin Unified Air Pollution Control District determined that dust emissions from the dry lake bed were responsible for poor air quality in the Owens Valley. The district enforces federal, state, and local air quality regulations and standards and has the authority to issue regulatory orders to the city to control dust emissions. Next slide, please. The commission authorized the lease to the city for the operation and maintenance of various dust mitigation measures. The commission has authorized a number of amendments to allow the city to meet the dust control orders issued by the district. Next slide, please. The proposed amendment before the commission today is to 1, authorize implementation of regulatory maintenance activities within several previously authorized dust control areas, or DCAs, and authorize emergency repairs within dust control area T13-1 North. Next slide, please. The lease also includes the inclusion of the following lease provisions: that the city will notify culturally affiliated and Native American tribes of the Owens Valley no more than 5 days prior to commencing work on the activities proposed under this amendment. 2, the city or the city's archaeologist shall secure a written agreement with the Lone Pine Paiute Shoshone Reservation Repository regarding the final disposition and permanent storage of any archaeological resources recovered during the project. And 3, that the city acknowledges that this lease expires on April 30th, 2024, and shall submit an application and approximate expense deposit no later than April 28, 2023. The activities in the proposed amendment would not change the current use of the areas which were previously authorized by the Commission and are maintenance activities that were anticipated by prior environmental documents. Next slide, please. In April 2022, the district issued a notice to comply to the city for failure to meet performance standards for shallow flooding on certain areas of the lake. In response to the district's notice to comply, the city is requesting this amendment to come into compliance and avoid fines. The city will also redesignate some areas from shallow flood to manage vegetation. These areas have operated as shallow flood in the past, but now meet managed vegetation performance standards. Since the transition from shallow flood to managed vegetation has occurred naturally, no physical activities are being authorized by this redesignation. Effectively, this will be an administrative name change to align the designation more accurately with the current use. Next slide, please. Staff believes the proposed amendment will not significantly impair public trust resources and values on Owens Lake at this time. The proposed maintenance activities will reduce dust emissions and improve air quality for residents in the Owens Valley. Staff recommends the Commission authorize the amendment of Lease 8079, effective March 1st, 2023. Next slide, please. And that concludes staff's presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Simpkins. I will be abstaining on this item. Commissioner Kunkel, do you have any comments or questions?
Not yet. I'd like to hear the public comment first.
Commissioner Miller?
Nope.
Okay. Jeff, do we have any public comment on the line or in the room? I don't see any in the room.
Thank you, Chair. We do have one public comment. Sean Scruggs, if you are available, you are welcome to unmute yourself and begin speaking.
Hello, are you receiving me?
Yes, we are. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, how much time do I have?
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay, my name is Sean Scruggs. I am the Tribal Historical Preservation Officer for the Fort Independence Paiute Tribe. We're approximately 20 miles north of Owens Lake, which is Patiata, the traditional name for the lake. My comment specifically is administrative in nature, in the sense that I had been consulted in this lease with California State Lands and Department of Water and Power. But the primary issue is that up until recent times, none of the natives were ever consulted about, obviously, the destruction, draining of Patiata and the systematic destruction of, and I relate her in a personal way, and I refer to Patiata as her. So that no one has really been involved with the destruction of her until just recent times. So the comment in administrative nature is that the Native Americans, all of the TIPOs, the tribal leaders need to have a seat at the table with the Los Angeles commissioners, Great Basin Air Pollution, and California State Lands Commission at the conception of ideas on how to manage that lake. We have cultural resources out there that include massacre sites. We have other cultural resources on the shorelines. And we understand that there is a need to control the dust. However, that was not our doing. That was the doing of the systematic destruction of the lake, and no one could foresee the future of how that dust would impact the valley and the residents. But as such, since recent times, our folks and I folks, specifically tribal folks, TIPOs, have only been advised or asked on, what do you think about turning this shovel of dirt here or flooding this area? And many times when we comment or put in our suggestions, when it actually comes to the construction, as maybe some of you have been involved in remodels of your house, things change. And so the nature of, oh, this is going to be non-destructive or very benign, turn out to be very destructive courses of action that people feel necessary to reduce dust. We've actually been, you know, consulted and asked and told that there are certain actions that are needed, and we ask for proof that these areas are emissive or emitting dust. And then those results sometimes come back negative because they're relying on aerial flybys or aerial pictures. So this is a very, it looks very benign when you look at the presentation, but it's a very extensive process that requires tribal participation from the very beginning and a discussion with us on how to co-manage that lake. Thank you for my time, the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scruggs, for your comments. Commissioner Kunkel?
Thank you, Chair Dumlau, and thank you so much, Sean Scruggs, for providing those comments. And so I understand it appears that Mr. Scruggs is not concerned with this item in particular, but rather the overall management of the dry lake bed, and that his voice and the voice of the Fort Independence Paiute tribe are not being heard. So just a question for Ms. Lucchesi or Mr. Simpkin, whichever is appropriate. What can the State Lands Commission do to ensure meaningful consultation, to ensure that they do have a seat at the table? What can we do?
Yeah, no, that's a really important question. We are in the process of working with Mr. Scruggs through our tribal liaison, Jessica Ramirez, to schedule a consultation with him in March or early April to talk through those very ideas. The commission, through its lease management responsibilities, through various amendments that will come before you in the near future, we do have the ability to be able to incorporate better consultation and coordination terms with LADWP to accommodate and implement ideas from the various tribes that have cultural resources and interests in the dry lake bed. So I guess the short answer to your question is stay tuned. We'd really love the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Scruggs to hear what his ideas are, those of his tribal members and other tribes, so that we can be as comprehensive and effective as possible in our future negotiations with DWP and in our collaboration and communication with Great Basin Air District.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'm ready to move approval.
All right, great. So we have a motion from Commissioner Kunkel and a second from Commissioner Miller. Ms. Lucchesi, can we have a roll call vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Kunkel?
Aye.
Commissioner Miller?
Aye.
Chair Dumlau?
Abstain.
The motion passes 2-0 with one abstention.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. I believe that concludes all of our the items that were removed from the consent calendar. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What's our next order of business?
Our next order of business is our second public comment period.
Great. If anyone wants to address the commission on any matter that is not on today's agenda, please come up to the podium or raise your hand. I will call on those who are here in person first. Next, we'll move on to those joining us virtually. Jeff, please call on the first person who would like to make a public comment.
Thank you, Chair. There are no hands raised for comment at this time.
Mr. Chair, did we have a speaker on item 83?
We did.
Hopefully Mr. Nestor, I can't remember what his last name is, I apologize. Hopefully he is still on Zoom and can speak during the public comment period. Unfortunately, we did already vote on that item, but I think he's going to support that action, but I could be wrong.
Thank you very much.
Oh, perfect, there he is.
Good morning, honorable members of the California State Lands Commission. My name is Nestor Aluga, and I live in the beautiful and historic city of Vallejo. I am one of the many volunteers that worked thousands of hours to help pass the federal legislation to transfer the Mare Island Naval Cemetery to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And I am here, to respectfully request you to approve item number 83. The story of the Mare Island Naval Cemetery is not uncommon, but it is somewhat unique in its history. And as a quiet victim of inadvertent governmental missteps, lost opportunities, and being left behind. This cemetery is unique because it is the oldest naval cemetery in the West Coast. And buried here are three Medal of Honor recipients, over 860 former soldiers, Marines, and sailors who served in the periods from the War of 1812 to World War I, and 100 plus of their relatives are also buried here. Sadly, this cemetery has also been a quiet victim of inadvertent government missteps, neglect, and or lost opportunities. In 1973, 50 years ago, the National Cemeteries Act of 1973 became Public Law 93-43. And this cemetery should have been transferred to the Veterans Affairs. But with the shipyard going full speed in maintaining nuclear submarines at that time, this cemetery was left behind. In 1993, the Mare Island Naval Shipyard was placed on the base realignment, closure, or blacklist, and this cemetery should have been transferred to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, but in the haste to decommission the shipyard by April 1996, this cemetery was again left behind. In 2012, we became aware of federal legislation to transfer the former U.S. Air Force Clark Air Veterans Cemetery in the Philippines to the American Battle Monuments Commission. And we thought we could piggyback the Mare Island Cemetery with that legislation. But somehow we did not champion it hard enough, and this cemetery was left behind. In 2018, we finally decided to work much harder. We started with a change.org petition that gathered over 50,000 signatures in 50 days by April 2018. Then we secured the support of the California State Commanders Veterans Council and two dozen national veterans service organizations. And we got California Senator Bill Dodd to introduce Senate Joint Resolution 2626, which urges Congress to pass the transfer legislation. Now, okay, I guess my time is up, but now that you have approved item 83, I am extremely grateful to the State Lands Commission for approving this proposed amendment to the settlement agreement because it is in the best interest of the state and it will not substantially impair public trust purposes or needs. But more importantly, you're correcting or fixing a historic wrong, because this is a critical path in the process to finally transfer the Mare Island Naval Cemetery from the city of Vallejo to its rightful place with the U.S. Veterans Affairs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Aliga, and thank you very much for staying with us today and joining us for the second public comment to provide that comment. All right, Jeff, do we have anyone else on the line?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we have Sean Scruggs. You are welcome to unmute yourself and begin speaking at this time.
Okay, am I there?
Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Scruggs.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to come back in and give you just a little bit of context for Owens Lake. Again, this is kind of just a ideas to think about why Native Americans need to be involved, again, specifically with the LA commissioners and the powers at the highest levels, is that Owens Valley, for us specifically, the Paiutes, and this is just educational piece, if you'll grace me with this, is so the Paiutes in the valley have been there for time immemorial. So that's essentially recognized to archaeologists as 14,000 years, but we've been there much longer.
Our creation stories tell about how our people were created, all of the insects, the animals, the air, everything that you can see, touch, feel, think, visible and invisible, prayers, past, present, future, all are of the utmost highest importance in the Owens Valley itself. That's why it's necessary for the tribal historical preservation officers, tribal leaders and elders to protect every bit that we can protect within the entire valley. And this has been communicated in future memorandums of agreement. We will also include new language that no one has seen recently that will capture these ideas. And they take almost a page and a half to 2 pages just to put all agencies. And I actually tried to be involved in the California State Lands Commission strategy update when you guys did it a couple of years ago, your 5-year strategy. And these are the ideas that I want to include when you review the strategy coming up in a few years, is management of cultural resources and resources so that when people approach California State Lands Commissions to construct projects, ask permits, do leases, this strategy will direct them strictly or straight expressly to the tribal folks and put all the people on notice that if you're setting foot into Owens Valley, Paya Hanadu, to perform constructions or do anything to alter it, it needs to have a tribal perspective, a voice and input from the beginning so that they understand how that affects our past, our present, and our future. Again, this is part of what I'm tasked to do as the historical preservation officer for my tribe. It's part of what I do just because this does directly relate to my history. You know, as where my origin stories are, the creation stories, and why it's so important to protect. Thank you for hearing my comments. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Scruggs, for joining us again for the second public comment, for informing us on more of the Owens Lake region. And yeah, appreciate that. Any comments from commissioners or questions? All right, Jeff. Sorry, do we have anyone else on for public comment?
Thank you, Chair Dumlau. At the moment, there are no other hands raised for comment.
Great, thank you. All right, Ms. Lucchesi, what's the next order of business?
Our next order of business is closed session. Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, allows a state body to discuss real property negotiations in closed session, provided that before the closed session, the state body in open session identifies the real property concerned and the person or persons with whom the negotiator may negotiate. In accordance with this requirement, I announce that the commission will conference in closed session with its real property negotiators regarding a lease amendment or other agreement for the extended use of the infrastructure on state lands related to the continued operation of the Diablo Canyon Power Plant in San Luis Obispo County. The negotiations will be conducted with PG&E.
Great, thank you very much. We will now adjourn into a closed session. Will the public please clear the room? And we will be back, thank you. Right. Thank you, everyone. I call this meeting back to order. Ms. Lucchesi, is there anything to report from closed session?
Yes, thank you. Pursuant to Government Code Section 11126, Subdivision C7, the Commission met in closed session with its real property negotiators regarding a lease amendment or other agreement for the extended use of the infrastructure on state lands related to the continued operation of the Diablo Canyon Power Plant in San Luis Obispo County. I'm now going to turn it over to Chief Counsel Blackman to report out the other two items.
Thank you, Jennifer. The Commission considered two items in closed session that we'll be reporting out on. The first was what we call the PRC 421 Peer Settlement Agreement. In this, the Commission considered and authorized the execution of a settlement agreement with the liquidating trustee for the Finico Estate regarding the Commission's limited use of the Elwood Onshore Facility for the purposes of completing the PRC 421 Piers decommissioning project and closely located coastal hazards program removal work. The second item was a trustee settlement offer The commission considered the offer and rejected the proposal by the liquidating trustee for the Vinico estate regarding settlement of the trustee's legal claims against the commission in the matter of Eugene Davis versus the state of California and the California State Lands Commission. And that's all.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lucchese. Is there anything else?
Not at this time.
Great. Well, that concludes the open meeting and we are adjourned.
For sure. Read the car as